I'm going to share from Isaiah chapter 7 from the New Revised Standard Version. This is some of Isaiah and some of my own reflections. Isaiah was a prophet to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom of the Israelites, when Israel was split into the northern Israel and southern Judah. His works are preserved in the Hebrew Bible. Isaiah spoke what he believed to be the prophecy of God to a people who were living through one of the most turbulent and fearful times in their history. Sound familiar? The most common, the most repeated phrase of Isaiah was, "Be not afraid." Be not afraid, he said again and again to a people who were entombed in, broken by fear. When Isaiah set to speak the prophecy in chapter 7, Israel of the north and Syria had established a bond for political reasons and were threatening to rise together against Judah. When Ahaz, Judah's king, heard of this allegiance and threat, as Isaiah says, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of a forest shake before the wind. But Isaiah says, be not afraid. Don't react out of fear. Do not let the fire in you determine your direction. Be patient, and all will be well. Ahaz didn't want to listen. He and his people were afraid. They were terrified, and Ahaz was a proud man. He would not be consoled by Isaiah's promise, God's promise of a peace to come. As the story goes, God spoke to Ahaz through Isaiah, saying that he would protect his kingdom. And to prove his promise, he would even give Ahaz a sign. But Ahaz, proud and ready to act on his own, said, I will not ask for a sign. I do not need to see God's promise. I'm just fine on my own. What do you think? Would this sort of pride please the God of Isaiah? No. Hear then, O house of David, thunders Isaiah. Is it not enough that you exhaust your own mortal neighbors with your stupidity? I helped these words along a little bit. Why do you have to exhaust my God as well? The Lord will give you a sign, whether you want it or not. And here's the prophecy, the sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And by the time he's eating curds and honey, he will know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. Then the kings that threaten to rise up against you will be dead, but your people, your line will continue and will thrive. A promised peace to come? Is this what the prophecy means? You've perhaps heard this one before. The young woman with child, the child named Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with. Young woman might mean virgin or not, but let's not get into that controversy here. We wait till Christmas Eve for that one. Christians see this as a prophecy of Jesus, the foreshadowing of the coming of the Messiah. Hebrew scholars don't. They lean into that strange line about the curds and honey. By the time he is eating curds and honey, he shall know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. Curds and honey were only available during times of peace. Hebrew scholars see this prophecy of Isaiah as instruction, not for a future time, but for all time. When we find peace, we know the difference between good and evil. Emmanuel, God with, is only possible when we find the peace of our hearts and act from there. Fear will only and always lead us astray. Fear will only and always lead us astray. Please join me in a moment of pause. May the meditations of my heart, may the words that I share, may they speak both of the trauma we have all been experiencing and the hope and the love and the peace we seek in the world. May what comes between us be a conversation, and may we all seek and find whatever it is we need in this space we share together. Amen. Give me a prophet in this time. Give me an Isaiah who will thunder against the righteousness of our world's leaders who only stand up to fight with fear and in fear when their sovereign lands are threatened. Give me a Micah that will beg us to beat our swords into plowshares and our assault rifles into pruning hooks before one more innocent life is sacrificed to our madness. Give me a Jesus that will walk with the refugees out of Syria, holding the hands of the children and reminding us that they too are children of God. Give me a Buddha who will sit in the meditation space in the bullet-strewn Parisian cafes and the bullet-riddled regional center in San Bernardino, California, and the bullet-broken health clinics and the bullet-splattered schools, healing our hate with his witness. Give me a Martin Luther King rising from the dead to remind us that his bold and beautiful black life, even his bold and beautiful black life, didn't matter enough. Didn't matter enough to save him from the assault of racist hate. Give me an Emmanuel, God with, Spirit of love with, to hold us, to walk with us, to instruct us, to awe us in this time of unprecedented fear, confusion, and misplaced conviction. In this time of rising hatred and wars upon wars, give me an Emmanuel because we are all threatening to give into our fear. Either in desperation, in turning away, in hopelessness, in oversaturated, overwhelmed exhaustion, or in a violence of our own. Give us an Emmanuel before it is too late. Amen. The Advent season, this build up to Christmas, is supposed to be subtle. Calm. Mysterious. It's supposed to be a reaffirmation of hope, peace, and love, but quietly. By lighting candles in darkened rooms and singing quiet songs and praying quiet prayers. I don't think quiet alone nor candles will hold us now. We need honesty, not brash, unthinking honesty, but the honesty of our hearts. We need honesty to break us open, to remind us of our vulnerability so we can see we all share the pain we carry. Otherwise, we will feel overwhelmed and we will grow numb to the aching of the world. The other night at the board meeting, I was surprised and pulled out of distraction by the honesty that John, our intern minister, showed. John is the quiet one, right? The peaceful one, right? The Buddhist. We were going around the table checking in, saying how we were doing, and John shared simply, honestly, "I'm tired of all these bleep shootings." What are curse words anyway but magic words? Amen. I'm glad you didn't say something else. What are curse words anyway but magic words, incantations? Cursing is an inherently religious act. You either bless or you curse, right? I'm not going to ask us to start shouting out curses in the midst of our worship service. We are an intergenerational community. Do not fear, parents. But I'm going to do the unthinkable and affirm honest outbursts. We are tired of all those bleep shootings. Right? Amen. And they don't deserve our blessing. They deserve our curse. Our magic incantation word that stakes our faithful ground, that we stand in ardent opposition, that the peace within us knows the difference between evil and good and recoils in horror at the slaying of human life. Amen? White life. Christian life, Muslim life, black life, for what? For show? For power? For stupidity? For madness? We curse what has been taken. We bless the peace that shows us there is another way. I read Isaiah much as many of the Hebrew scholars read him as saying, "Don't trust your fear and anger to lead you. That will only lead you to war." Ahaz is scared. Syria, imagine that, is looming. A big and a dangerous threat. Ahaz is shaking like a tall tree. Isaiah says, "Be not afraid." Prophet, don't you have anything better to say? Be not afraid? You must be joking, right? Did you not see what happened in Paris? Be not afraid. Did you not see the news? Black men shooting and being shot. White men shooting and being shot. Salvadorian children riding on the tops of trains to escape gangs. Parents toting assault rifles and murdering partygoers. Be not afraid. That is all you have to say for us. Trust, a child will be born of a young woman, and that child will know the difference between good and evil. Trust that. Sounds like fiddle faddle, Hare Krishna, kumbaya. What's that you say, Isaiah? Kumbaya? It means that, really? I always thought it was just nonsense. It means, come by me. Come by me, Holy One. Come by me. Just like, oh, come, Emmanuel. Come by me, Holy One. Come by me. I cannot make it here alone. I cannot make it here alone. We Unitarian Universalists can struggle with this come by me concept. This idea of Emmanuel, the Holy One. We are rational, right? We are intellectual, right? I've been prideful, like King Ahaz. If there's a battle to fight, I must fight it alone, I've thought. It takes work for me to recognize that nothing I do is ever truly alone. My life is knit with your lives. And with all lives, this is a kind of Emmanuel. And we Unitarian Universalists can struggle with the idea that holiness will walk with us. If we're good with the word God, maybe Emmanuel, God with, is an easy concept for us to imagine. But if not, if you're not good with that word, picture this. Picture Malala Yousafzai walking with us now. her spirit of life and love transforming the way we see our world. Or picture what Dave Hearn shared about that Help Portrait Day that our congregation sponsored for the needy in our community. Picture the connections that occurred throughout the day, breaking language barriers, breaking social barriers, sharing a moment of beauty and joy. That too is Emmanuel. The peace that walks within and with us when we have the strength to believe in one another and heal all that tears us apart. The Holy is with us, says Isaiah. Be not afraid. Trust before you let fear conquer your soul. Christians believe that Isaiah predicted the Messiah. I believe he was calling us to see all the Messiahs, those we have come to see as prophets and those that prophesy from within our own hearts. There is an innocence within us all that has tasted the curds and honey of peace, that knows the difference between good and evil, between right action and wrong, our child's eyes, as the Buddhist might say. Unhampered by the exhaustion of the world, uncorrupted by the fear of the other. On my way in this morning, there was a program on the radio, and they were talking about how we needed self-defense. We needed self-defense to protect our bodies, to prepare us in times of terrorist attacks. I believe that's true, and I also believe that we better learn how to protect our own souls from the fear, too. As Isaiah told Ahaz, he is telling me, and maybe he is telling you, that the Emmanuel is rising now. Even now, in this time of violence that threatens to violate all we have known of peace on this earth, the Emmanuel is rising now. Within. Every time we allow ourselves to feel enough that we curse what has been taken. And every time we allow ourselves to feel enough that we bless what has remained whole. Emmanuel, rise within us so that when we hear the words, Black Lives Matter, we do not react in fear that the protesters are trying to take something from us. Let us hear what we need to hear and respond with something powerful enough to transform our world, because that's what we need. Black Lives Matter too. Maybe that's what you need to hear. Or Black Lives Matter as much as all lives. Or Black Lives are holy lives because we are all children of God, children of this universe. Emmanuel, rise within us so that we can hear the pain and loss behind the words and honor that pain and loss with our witness and our striving towards a world where no one will need to fight to be seen as worthy. Emmanuel, rise within us when we see the Syrian refugees carrying all of their broken lives in their arms. Rise within us when fear might steal their honest visage from our eyes, when fear might corrode our empathy so that we block their exodus, so that we reject them from sanctuary. Emmanuel, rise within us and remind us that yes, the world is run through with danger, and compassion is not always returned with compassion, but only compassion can save and heal. Emmanuel, remind us that we are never truly safe, that safety is not a given, but that we are given at birth the power to love. Emmanuel, rise with us when we would use the shootings that rock our nation as one more reason to engage the same partisan fight. Rise within us when we would think that this new manifestation of horror proves that all along we were right. Whether we were arguing for gun restriction or gun freedom, whether we were arguing against the building of the mosque or for the building of the mosque, whether we think video games are the cause or are not the cause, rise within us when we would use the shootings that murder our children as one more reason to assert our righteousness. Lead us not into partisan rhetoric, but into a shared commitment to upend the powers that collude to birth violence in our world. Emmanuel, walk with us through conversations that begin with our pain, not our rightness, and lead us towards healing through love. Emmanuel, Isaiah, we need you now more than ever. Fear threatens to steal our souls, for we are on the edge of darkness. But perhaps a child is born. In Syria, in Baltimore, in San Bernardino, perhaps a child is born in our own hearts that knows the difference between good and evil, and trusts that if we act out of love, not fear, peace in some small way or maybe a huge way will be born. This is hope, and it is hope enough here on the edge of darkness. May we all trust in Emmanuel that walks with us even now. Amen.